Back to the fires, and Wednesday is now forecast to be the worst day for New South Wales and its bushfire emergency. That's when the strongest winds and the highest temperatures are predicted. 56 fires are burning across the state. 12 of them are uncontrolled. The major concern remains the Sydney Basin and the Blue Mountains fires, as we've been discussing this morning. 208 homes have already been destroyed since the fire emergency began on Thursday. Rod Bradstock is with the Centre for Environmental Risk Management of Bushfires at the University of Wollongong. Ross, welcome back to welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Frank.
The Sydney Basin, which is where the Blue Mountains fire is part of that basin, is covered with what's called a sclerophyll. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. Sclerophyll forest. You've spent a lot of time trying to understand why this kind of forest burns so fiercely. Well, what's the answer?
Well, it's a neat conjunction of climate, the landscape, the geology and the soils that are derived from that, and the way they lead to the types of plants that grow there, Fran. The climate is obviously relatively wet. We get roughly about 1,000 millimetres of rainfall in the mountains. The soils are very infertile, and that leads to plants with what we call hard leaves, or sclerophyll leaves, as you correctly pointed out. These are more or less engineered to burn. Their shape and their woodiness, if you like, they don't decompose very quickly, and they're arranged in shrub forms which propagate fire.
So because they don't, these hard leaves, as you say, don't decompose very quickly, they load up the fuel load. Is that the issue?
Yes, fuel accumulates very rapidly in these systems. Within about 1 year of even a severe fire, you've got enough fuel to at least allow a fire to propagate again under very severe weather conditions. Within 5 years, you've got enough fuel to have an uncontrollable fire under relatively severe weather conditions.
So in terms of, if we're looking at the fire, does this make the Sydney Basin more prone to bushfire or more prone to more intense bushfires?
Bit of both, really. Yes. I mean, what you can say is that there's four ingredients of that you need to have a fire. You need a continuous layer of fuel across the landscape. So in these systems, that's there most of the time. You then need dryness. The fuel has to dry out and become available to burn. So we have a climate where that occurs periodically. Every couple of years you have instances where major proportions of the landscape do dry out.
But as you said earlier, the Blue Mountains is a relatively wet environment. So you wouldn't think necessarily it would be ready to burn so fiercely.
Well, it's those few weeks of dry spell and that produce that ingredient. What we've found is you just need about a month without rain in the warmer times of the year, spring or summer, to produce the conditions of dryness across the landscape that provide the template for major fires. So that's what we're seeing. We've had an extremely warm, dry winter and spring. So those dryness conditions are now set up in our landscapes.
You work in something called the Centre for Environmental Risk Management of Bushfires, and you and others have done a lot of work on this. And essentially, it's known that these conditions exist, and it's known what conditions then occur from time to time that will make the likelihood of bushfire more intense. But also, ignitions tend not to be random too. There's a pretty good understanding of where they're likely to occur. So that should mean we can take the steps to lessen the chance of them.
That's correct. Yes, we, in particular in the last few years, we've been able to more or less quantify all those ingredients, and in particular the ignition factor. We know that ignitions tend to occur close to development, with things like lightning occurring in more remote areas. So that's right, you can put all these things together and you can actually map the risk. And that's one way of starting to target risk mitigation measures.
And what would they be?
Well, the inexorable conclusion, not only from our studies around the Sydney area, but also from studies after the 2009 fires in Victoria, is that we have to essentially build a shield around our urban areas. We know that the nature of forest within, say, a kilometre of houses is highly influential in terms of the chance of loss of houses. We also know that the proximity of the actual structures to the forest edge is critical, and the condition of gardens as well as the actual nature of the building itself. So that tells you that there's a whole smorgasbord of things that you can do to mitigate the risk. Mm. But you've got to start by building that shield around development.
And, sorry, we're almost at the news, we've only got 30 seconds, but in a place like the Blue Mountains, of course, that's not occurred. The houses are in...
imperfectly. unfortunately, we are seeing the legacy of past developments in terms of loss. But there have been, on the positive side, major steps forward in terms of building that shield and building better, safer developments.
Okay. So we can't stop the fires, but we can hopefully mitigate the risk. Ross, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Erin.
Professor Rod Bradstock is head of the research team at the Centre for Environmental Risk Management of Bushfires. That's at the University of Wollongong.